Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson in Outreach Ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part two of Rejoicing in God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 11, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Here he says, "But we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation." So Paul says we rejoice in God. And therefore, whatever's going on around us, it doesn't faze us necessarily, or it's not the thing that we're taken up with or burdened down by. It's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? And so easy to get burdened down by things that many times they're things we don't have any control over. But it happens to us. So how do we move in that direction? Well, I think it all comes down to getting a clearer picture of God, a better understanding that will lead to a deeper devotion and a greater experience. You know, if you think about this, to put it all in perspective, God is the ultimate. He's the most glorious being. And all of time and everything else is running toward eternity, and it's all going to culminate in the kingdom of God coming, the Son of God establishing his throne, God being all and in all. I mean, that's where it's all headed, right? And we've got this opportunity right now, before that all, you know, is finalized, we've got this opportunity now to meet with this God and encounter this God and get to know this God and fellowship with him and experience him. But here's my point. How much time do we give to that? How is it that we've got so many other things that we deem important to the point of negligence when it comes to God? If we could just get the right perspective of who God really is and, you know, where everything's going, I think it would help us to just see everything else in its proper light and be able to say, you know, that's fine for what it is, but, you know, I don't want to spend my life to that. Or that's fine for what it is, but, you know, right now I've got another priority. I've got something else I've got to do. I've got something more important. I've got something much greater to do. I got to seek the Lord. I got to meet with God. So, what we need to do is we need to exercise ourselves to meditating upon the person of God and the works of God, and then to talking about it, and to then expressing to God our love through praise and thanksgiving and those kinds of things. So, starting with meditation on God's power. This is a way to get everything in perspective. It's a way to really begin to, you know, to some degree comprehend God better. But just to meditate on his power. How do we meditate on the power of God? Well, one of the ways that we can do it is by observation of his creation. We tend to be somewhat negligent about that today, especially those of us, you know, who live in cities and are, you know, preoccupied with so much of man's creation. And, you know, we don't take the time to really sit down and think things through, do we? But just to sit down and think about the power of God, think about it in the sense of the universe that we live in. Think about it in the sense of the solar system that we're in. Think about it in the sense of the planet that we live on. There is something to just, you know, getting a little bit of an understanding of the universe that we live in. So meditation on nature with the view of glorifying God as we observe nature and as we observe his power in nature, that's one of the ways to get a better understanding of who God is. And when we start to get a little bit of a grasp of this, it becomes mind-boggling. We read the psalm on Sunday morning, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse, the firmament, shows his handiwork." And then you start to think, what kind of a God creates a universe like this? A universe that is just, it's beyond our ability to grasp it. That's a great God. That's a glorious God. And we're told about this God that he actually holds this universe in the span of his hand. So, you know, the universe is great. It's vast. It's unfathomable from the human standpoint. But to God, it's just a matter of a few, you know, what we would see as a few inches. So when I start to get a hold of this a little bit, I just start to think, wow, God is, he's so far beyond anything that I really could comprehend. This God who created everything, that this God loves me. I'm so glad. Because somebody who could create this, to think that he might not be benevolent, that's a frightening thought. So we meditate on God's power, but then we meditate on God's wisdom. And we see his wisdom in, again, the creation, but coming more specifically to here on the earth. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to just sort of take so much for granted. It's easy for us to take vegetation, the trees, and all of that stuff. You know, oh, that's a tree. You know, so what? But, you know, to actually think about it, you know, we don't really think about it, but these plants are actually helping us live by putting off the oxygen that we need. But then, you know, just looking into some of the details of those kinds of things, or, you know, looking more specifically at the animals, whether they be your pets or, you know, other kinds of animals. You know, looking at the different types of birds. And the other day as I was running along, there were probably like 50 pelicans all in a perfect line, just, you know, cruising along. And I thought, now who told them to line up like that, you know? How do they know to do that? But, you know, again, it's like stuff that you just sort of take for granted, but then you start looking at it and you think, wow, that is amazing. And all of these kinds of life forms and things. But you see, as we look at them and as we stop for a minute and we pause and we go, wait a second, God made that thing. And all of this fine detail and all of this, you know, just amazing colors and all of these things is fascinating. And then, of course, the wisdom just in ourselves. You know, we ourselves are, you know, as the scripture says, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, you know, maybe you're like me and you're not, you know, you just didn't do all that well sitting in the science class. Don't let that discourage you. There's lots of wonderful things to glean, but we do need to take a little bit of time and just, you know, see some of what's really there just under the surface. You know, we take for granted our vision. I see you, you see me. We just, yeah, of course, we see each other. But do we know how this is working, this mechanism? How it is that we see each other? How it is that I can differentiate between all of these various shades and colors and all of this kind of stuff? You know, these are the kinds of things that we would do well to stop and ponder. How it is that you can hear me right now? How it is that I can hear myself? How it is that the sound, you know, is going forth, the sound waves, and then, you know, coming in through the ear canal and this whole thing that's happening there, and then my brain's reading, your brain's reading. You see, this is the stuff that God did. And this is the stuff that will help us if we just would take the time to stop and ponder it. This is the stuff that will help us to realize the greatness of our God and will develop in us, I think, a swifter tendency toward rejoicing and toward worshiping. But then think also and meditate on God's providential goodness. Again, all of the stuff that we just sort of take for granted. The sun, the rain, the fruit of the earth. Every now and again, I just have like a weird thought. But, you know, they just kind of randomly come. But the other day, I started thinking about, it was as I was guzzling down a glass of water. And I was being so refreshed by this glass of water. And I was thinking as I was drinking it, now I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to take a shower in water. And then I just started thinking of all of the things that water does. H2O. How God made this stuff. And, you know, I mean, you know, you go out and wash your car with it and then you guzzle it down and, you know, you jump under it and it gets you clean. And then on a hot day, you jump into it and it cools you off and refreshes you. And, you know, all of the wonderful aspects of water. And that we live in a time when we've got running water. And it just flows right out of the faucet. And not, you know, most people that have lived in history didn't have that wonderful privilege. And some people still don't. But, you know, these kinds of things. The providential goodness of God giving us the sun, the rain, the seasons, the fruit of the earth. Do we stop to think about the food that's on our table that, for the most part, it's all stuff that God provided? Well, men have taken God's ingredients and, you know, developed different recipes and things, obviously. But, you know, you look on the package and you see all that's in there. And generally speaking, it's all the stuff that God put in the earth. But here's my question. Do we stop? You know, we all give thanks for our food, right? But do we really give thanks? Do we really stop and go, gosh, I can't believe that. I get to eat this. And God made this for me. And this tastes so good. And I'm so excited that God made this right here. We don't usually do that, do we? We just take it all for granted. But how much more would we rejoice in God and glory in God if we really did just stop and say, wow, Lord, this is amazing. These strawberries are so good. And you made these. And those nectarines that are going to come out this summer and hopefully be on my tree in my backyard, those are really good too. And that watermelon. And, you know, all of the grains and all of these things. You know what I'm saying? We just live in the middle of it. We just go shopping and there it is on the racks. And we just, you know, we don't thinking, you know, walking through the grocery store, we ought to be just going, God, you're so good. Lord, I just rejoice in you. Now, I don't do that, but I should. This is like, you know, we're just dull in our minds and our hearts are hard. But this is the kind of thing. We've got to exercise ourselves in these areas. But, you know, in thinking about the providential goodness of God, I was thinking also, you know, even about family and friends and things like that. You know, the Bible says that God has placed people strategically in the world. Acts chapter 17, God has put the boundaries for the nations. He's arranged for this thing. So it wasn't an accident, the family that you were born into, and the people that you've associated with, and the people that have been a blessing in your life, and all of that. Those are all part of the providential goodness of God. And if we would, you know, if we looked at other people sometimes and said, wow, Lord, thank you. You know, thank you for my parents. Thank you for my kids. Lord, thank you for my friends. Thank you for these neighbors. Thank you for, you know, just whoever it might be that's been a blessing in our lives. These are all part of God's goodness. But then also we meditate on God's holiness, his righteousness, his justice. Oh, we live in a world full of injustice, don't we? We live in a world full of inequity. We live in a world full of evil and sin and wickedness. But then we see God, and he's holy and he's righteous and he has laws and he's just, and he's promised to vindicate, and he's promised that everything's going to be sorted out ultimately. And so sometimes we see justice come in our own lifetimes. Sometimes we see it delayed, but we can know for sure, because of the picture that we have of God in his word, we know that it's all going to get sorted out in the end. He's going to put everything right. And you know, when you see the injustices and you see things happen, which there are many these days, aren't there? And you look and you just think, you know, that is wrong. That should not happen. That is unfair. That is terrible. And you see people just, you know, in wickedness and oppression and getting away with it. And you're just like, Lord. But then you think, okay, God, you said that there was a day of judgment. You said that there was going to be an appointment for every man at the judgment seat. So we rejoice in the fact that God is righteous, that he is holy, that he is just. And then we meditate on God's love. And we did that a little bit last time, didn't we? As we took a little more time to look at that great demonstration of God's love. But we don't stop doing that, but we keep going back and thinking about the love of God, that greatest demonstration of all, Christ dying for us. And not only that, but the love of God is also demonstrated toward us through other Christians, through other believers, people who love us, just like God loves us. God's put his love for us in the hearts of others, and they express love toward us. I think of all of the love that I've experienced as a Christian coming from other people. People just love you and want to bless you and want to do things for you with no desire for anything in return. We just want to be a blessing to you. That's a manifestation of the love of God. So all of these things, we meditate on these things. We think about them. And we allow these things to take us back to God, because that's where they all originated. And we just say, Lord, you're the author of these things. And that will cause our hearts to rejoice. But then also, there is that place to talk about these things amongst ourselves. And this is what fellowship is, you know, really. It's talking about these things. It's sharing with one another these wonderful things that God has done, these wonderful things that we've discovered about who God is and his creative power and his wisdom and all of these things. And we talk and we share with each other. And we just say, man, the Lord is good. And we build each other up in our understanding as we communicate with each other. But then thirdly, we praise. Rejoicing in God, Paul says. You know, praising the Lord, or as we often say, worshiping the Lord, singing to him, singing about him, these are ways to cultivate that heart that will rejoice in God. It's a beautiful thing. So we don't just, you know, sit down and sing songs without our minds being engaged, but we think about what we're saying. You know, sometimes during a time, you know, time of praise and worship, sometimes what I like to do is not sing for maybe a stanza or two. I like to just listen and think about the words and really meditate on, okay, this is what we're saying to the Lord. And, you know, then come back in to sing. That's the kind of thing we're doing. It's another form of meditation. It's another way, you know, with the music to just get our focus on the Lord. I haven't done this for a while, but I used to do it pretty frequently. I used to just take a hymnal, an older hymnal, and just go back to some of the really classic hymns, like especially the Wesley's hymns and Watts and those guys. And I just go back and I just read through those hymns. They have so much glorious truth in these hymns, so much wonderful theology. And occasionally, if I knew the melody, I would just, you know, be alone in my room and I'd just sing those hymns. But as we do this, as we meditate, as we talk about, as we praise, as we worship, you know, here's what's going to happen. We're going to develop, and this is what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about cultivating something. I'm talking about developing something where we have a heart that is inclined to rejoice in the Lord. We're rejoicing in God. And he's becoming more and more the focal point. He's becoming more and more the center of my affection. And I'm excited about the work of God. And I'm so, you know, happy to be involved in service to God and doing the ministry. But that's not the end of it. That's not the final thing. It's the Lord himself and meeting with him and being able to just say, you know, Lord, I love you. I remember reading the autobiography of Billy Graham that he wrote probably about 10 years ago now. And of course, you could hardly find anybody even in history who has done more to get the gospel to people than Billy Graham has, right? And at the end of the biography, and it's the autobiography, it's a wonderful story of his life and his ministry and all the places he's been and the things that he's done. And, you know, he's a very humble man, so there's nothing arrogant about it. It's just the facts. This is what God did. But at the end of the thing, and you know, recognizing that he's close to his departure, he says this at the end. He says, looking back on all that God's done, he said, but what I'm really looking forward to more than anything else is the day that I can look in the eyes of my Savior Jesus and thank him for saving me. And I remember reading that and just being so touched. That's what it's really all about. At the end of the day, that's the issue. That we love God. That we rejoice in him. That he's the center of all of these other things. And that all of those blessings and everything else that we're talking about here, that all of these things, they just point back to him. They just bring us back to a focus on him. And so that's what Paul says here. We rejoice in the certainty of heaven. We even rejoice in tribulations. But not only that, we rejoice also in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. Of course, all of this is possible, this communion, this enjoyment of fellowship with God. It's all possible because of Jesus.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Truth About Sin and Death. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Rejoicing in God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0123. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Brodersen, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Brodersen. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.